You may recognize these, some of them. My sister's legal and money problems, stress, my uncle's addictions, fear of failure, fear of job loss, debt. Travel for work takes me away from my family too much. Old age, deteriorating health, mental illness in the family, brokenness in the family, poisonous pus oozing, brokenness, a granddaughter who is suffering tremendously, resentment, frustration, my faults, depression, loneliness, my not being good enough, failure, non-believers in my family, and this beautiful little card written by a child that has a little stick figure with a me and an arrow pointing to it, and another stick figure in a distance shouting something ugly with the word bully pointing to it. These were the cards that some of you filled out. I have a whole bunch more on my desk. 2 weeks ago when we looked at the yoke of Jesus. Here is yet another parable as we sit at the feet of Jesus that will help us to understand all of this. So here are the texts. Comes from Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And I'm only going to read you the first half of the story again, and then we'll talk about the part that Jesus describes for us. Here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn." So here's a picture for you. I want you to take a good look at this picture. Over here on the far right is an adult, fully developed wheat stem. But over here on the left-hand side are an immature wheat and what's called a tare, or in this case probably darnel, may also be called a cockle. And look at the two immature stalks. A novice might have a difficult time looking at these two and figuring out which is which as they just begin to sprout out of the ground. Here they are as adults, fully developed, and now it becomes very obvious which is the wheat kernel or the wheat stalk, and which is the weed, if you will. Pretty obvious at this point. Not so obvious over here. Oops. And pretty obvious here. Tares, darnel, if you will, if they are harvested with wheat, turn the wheat and the dough that the wheat is creating sour and bitter. So if you reap them together and just mix them up, what you get is really nasty tasting dough that just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Okay? So you've got a very useful grain over here in the wheat and a very unuseful wheat in the tare. So I guess the question is, what is Jesus trying to teach us as he teaches this parable? How are we to apply it to our lives and to the problems that so many of us are facing here today? So here's our theme for this morning. The enemy will come among us, so stay focused on the good. The enemy will come among us, stay focused on the good. So let's talk first about the enemy will come. That's found in verse 25, and then in Jesus' explanation a little bit later on down in verse 39. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. And in Jesus' explanation, the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. Is the devil. And here we go again. Some of you who were here last week will recognize the first picture, the painting over here on the left. That is Vincent van Gogh's The Sower. And you'll remember, as we talked about it last week, he's just going right along and he's throwing out his seed. He's got that kind of big gait that he's walking. He's happily just going about, throwing about his seed. No matter what's going on behind him with the birds and the pathway and the hard ground and all that other stuff, he doesn't care. He's just planting seed. And then we got this other fella. Take a look at him. He's kind of hunchbacked. And he's looking over his shoulder to see if the farmer is watching. And he's kind of dropping seed down as he goes. And he's looking backwards. And he's surrounded by things that would be considered perhaps evil, such as snakes. And it looks like either a wolf or a hyena up there behind him. And he's noticed also broad daylight for Vincent van Gogh and the sower, darkness and clouds for this sower. And look at his face too. He's got a smirk on it, kind of like a smirk, right? The difference between these two sowers is marked. Marked. And this lesson of this parable, I think, gives us both an internal meaning for our own individual lives and an external meaning as we deal with the world around us. From the internal point of view, these hurts, these anxieties, the feelings of inadequacy, the stress, the addictions, the fears of failure, the jealousy, the resentment, the frustrations, the feelings of depression and loneliness, and yes, even bullies, are all seeds planted by the evil sower in our lives. The enemy has come and he plants them to bring us grief. And the evil sower does everything in his power to supplant our abundant life in Christ. That's what he does. John Wesley, when he read this text, he said this about it. He said, "But while men are sleeping, but while men sleep, they ought to have watched." And by here, men, he means humankind, humanity. "They ought to have watched. His enemy came and sowed darnel, weeds, into his life." What are we supposed to watch for? Well, Wesley says, keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. This is your stuff, folks. This isn't some example that I've come up with on a video clip that I think is awesome. This is your stuff right here. And so much of this is planted in our lives by the evil one to draw our focus away from Jesus. The second meaning is an external meaning. He's telling us that there will always be evil in the world. The evil one is actively sowing seeds, just as the disciples of Jesus Christ are actively sowing seeds. And until Christ comes again in final victory, we will have to contend with the fallen nature of humankind and the evil that seems so pervasive in our world today. So here's Jesus' response to this evil, to this internal issues and to the external issues of evil in the world. Don't believe me, there's evil in the world. Turn the news on. I got so frustrated the other day, I finally watched the news. I've told you all before, I don't watch the news hardly anymore at all because I'm just so sick and tired of listening to all the garbage on the news. I turned the news on the other day. The first 12 minutes of the newscast was disaster after death, after murder, after blah, 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 blah. For 12 straight minutes, not a single decent story to share about the goodness of anyone in the world. I turned it off. 12 straight minutes. So here's Jesus' response. This is what he says. He says, focus on the good. Verse 28 and then through 30, and then again Jesus' explanation in 40 through 41. Should we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. And then Jesus' explanation down at the bottom, just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Let them both grow together. Really? Really? You mean we got to put up with this? And what does Jesus mean by that? Let them both grow together, the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the darnel. Wouldn't we think that he would want all evil, all pain, and all suffering to be removed from the world? Isn't it interesting that Jesus would say in this parable, it's too soon to root out the evil in the world? Think about that for a minute. Don't pull out the weeds. It's too soon to root out the evil in the world. Wow. Really? I mean, the slaves, you know, they're ready. Hey, Mr. Farmer, we're ready. Let's go. Let us go root up those nasty weeds right out of the field right now. We'll just go take care of it right now. Have it handled in a few hours. After all, who among us has not questioned why God allows evil to grow and thrive? Who among us has never asked that question? Who among us has not wanted to take matters into our own hands and root out the evil of this world that's in our midst? Jesus says, whoa, slow down a minute. That's almost a dilemma we're thinking about. I mean, whoa, slow down a minute. Don't pull out the weeds yet. I listen to the radio a lot because I love Christian music. So I listen to it a lot. And some words to one of the songs that come out. I think it's Darlene Check, but I'd have to double check myself. The aching of this life. What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? Anyone know who sings that? Laura Story? Is it Laura Story? Okay, I knew it was Darlene Check, Laura Story, somewhere near. What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? From the internal personal perspective, this means that just maybe we go through these trials and tribulations, maybe we have some of this stuff in our lives, first of all, because of the fallen nature of this world, but second, to help us remember who God is and what he has done for us. We know that these are not what God wants for us. We know that. This is not what God wants for us. But we are reminded to focus on him, to rely on him through all of this. The blessings, the joy, the friends and family we have remind us these are part of who we are as human beings. And we don't want to rid ourselves or root them out too quickly, lest we lose sight of God and Jesus. He will bring us through them in his appointed time, even if that means at the end of the age. That's a little difficult to hear. Remember what I said when we started this whole sermon series way back when? We're going to go sit at the feet of Jesus. And I said, Jesus has some really hard things for us to hear sometimes. You remember that? Here we go. Don't be in such a hurry to root out the evil in your life or the evil in this world. That seems antithetical to what we would think. And yet, here he is telling it in the parable. And as for the external meaning, you know, we deal with ourselves and then we have to deal with others. As for the external meaning, maybe a better way of thinking about this is this. It is too soon to be presuming to know the outcomes of people's lives. It's too soon to know. And what we may think is evil and unconscionable, whatever, in judgment over other people, Jesus says, well, wait a minute. It's not time yet to root out the evil. You see, I know this to be true, that there is no one on the face of this planet, past, present, or future, that were not, are not, or will not be able to be redeemed. Every human being that has ever walked this earth has the chance to be redeemed. So Jesus says, if you pull out the weeds before the appointed time, you may be taking that chance away from them. Or, Dr. Pegg summed this up the other day in a meeting that I thought that was just absolutely wonderful. She was talking, and I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but she said, the person sitting next to me in the pew is not me. Have any idea what that means? The person sitting next to me in the pew is not me. In other words, we don't have a clue what's going on in that other person's life or in their heart. And so when we judge them, we're taking matters out of God's hand and putting them into our own. I think about this issue. Again, I was reminded of some lyrics because I listen to the radio all the time by one of my favorite Christian contemporary bands, Casting Crowns, led by Mark Hall. The song is Friend of Sinners. And the line that came to mind when I was thinking about this is this: nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, protest signs, crossed over the lines, and loved like you did, loved like Jesus did? Nobody knows what we're for, only only what we're against. You know, one of the great travesties of our day is that the church, and I'm speaking about the broader church now, not us here at Pathfinder, but the broader church, one of the greatest travesties is that we are often known more for what we are against rather than for who we are for, or better still, whose we are. And it seems the church has often been guilty of being overzealous weeders. We want to weed right away. I know I'm guilty of it. Jesus' parable here makes it clear that any attempt to root out the weeds will only do more damage to the crop. What does he say? Don't pull up the weeds because you what? Might damage the crop. What does he mean by that in a contemporary sense? It means if we're only known for what we're against, our witness to Jesus Christ is worthless. We have got to be whose we are and tell people who we're for. Love like you did. That's what he's telling us in this parable. Ooh, this is not easy to hear. It wasn't easy for me to write. I got news for you. I kept going, Lord, I'm gonna change this. I said, is that okay with you? I'm gonna change this. And he said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Let both grow until the harvest. The reputation of the church as judgmental, whether perceived or all too often earned, does damage to our ability to share the gospel. Instead, Jesus says, focus on the good. Then let God worry about the rest. You see, God says he's going to take care of it. He tells us that in the parable too. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. It doesn't say, and all humanity will remove the evil. It says the Son of Man and his angels will come and remove the evil. It is up to God to do judgment, not you and me. Doesn't mean we shouldn't discern and use wisdom. It simply means in the end run, we rely on God to take care of evil in this world. So just like we did 2 weeks ago, turn them over. It was one of the most moving scenes I've ever seen in this church, to have you pour down the middle aisle and overwhelm that yoke we had here with your problems, your needs, your hurts, your pain. The evil that is sown into this world. Turn it over, focus on the good, and let God worry about the judgment. That's what he's teaching us in this parable. And the other thing he's teaching us that I love so much, and I'm going to reiterate it again because it's so, so important that we see this in this message. God doesn't want to root out the weeds yet because there's time for redemption for everyone. That's the good news of the gospel. See, we may think it's sort of, well, why is he doing that? Why won't he? Because he wants everybody to be saved. That's why. That's the good news of the gospel. All they need to do is turn to Jesus to see it. And to receive it. And so he waits. He waits. And so must we. And so must we. I should have changed this. I should have said the enemy has come among us, so stay focused on the good. The enemy has come among us. So stay focused on the good. and we'll let God take care of the rest. Amen and amen. After I pray, I've got a video clip of praise to show you, so remind me if I forget, all right? Let's pray, shall we? Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. Father, sometimes we hear the words of Jesus and we think, is he really saying that? Don't pull up the weeds. Don't get rid of the evil in this world. That sometimes we wonder, Lord, what, why? We need to trust, Father. So help us to trust you and your will for our lives, your will for this world, your creation. And who are we to tell you how to run your world, Lord? But we thank you for the wonder that it is. We thank you that the beauty that is here. We thank you for all of our good friends and family that here sit with us every Sunday morning to share our hurts and our needs together, as we did so in the prayer cards this morning and on the orange cards as we've prayed over them this week. Father, we don't always understand, and we're not always sure, but we trust you, and we know that you have a good plan for our lives, and we're so grateful for it. Father, help us to move forward our lives focusing on the good, to set aside these orange cards of pain and frustration and depression and worry over the evil world that is. Help us to set all of that aside and trust in your grace and your mercy. And help us to realize, Lord, that there's not one person on this planet that you want to lose, that no one is excluded from redemption as long as they come to Jesus and they accept the gift. So help us to remember that, Lord, as we deal with the world around us every day. And thank you for the love that you lavish upon us, for the mercy that you pour out upon us every single day of our lives. We lift up the prayer card concerns today. We lift with great joy good news that has been given to us about grandchildren and about tests that are positive and not worrisome any longer. Father, thank you. Thank you. And again, we say thank you. And now we honor you with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying together in one united voice, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.